I'm Pastor Jordan LeBlanc, and it's time to find your true north. I'm so glad you could join us on the True North podcast today, and I hope that you'll be inspired and challenged to reorient your life on God over these next few moments. It's hard to believe that it's April and that we're just a few weeks away from the unofficial start of spring. Now I know spring started on March the 21st. I am, of course, talking about when it actually starts to feel like spring. But more importantly, we're now less than 3 weeks away from Easter. It's appropriate that these two events happen so close together. Spring is the symbol that winter is over. Ice and snow begin to melt, and we are no longer held captive by dreary days and early nights. The sun reasserts itself as the dominant force in our lives, and though many of us love certain winter activities, I for one love all things skating and hockey related, and many people I know love to ski. But even those who enjoy winter activities are hard pressed to deny the sensation that spring brings. Because spring brings life. Spring brings new growth. Spring is the start of something new and fresh and beautiful. And if you're at all familiar with the story of Easter, you know that it parallels well with the coming of spring. Because in the midst of darkness, new life springs forth. In the midst of defeat, there is great victory. Jesus' defeat of sin through his death was confirmed in his resurrection. And with it, the promise that we too would overcome death and receive a resurrection ourselves. And as we continue to rediscover the story of Jesus' final hours to the cross, we discover one man's suffering in its aftermath and the beauty of redemption because of Christ's resurrection. As they traveled from dinner to the garden where Jesus would pray in his final hours, he begins to speak to his disciples. In Matthew 26, he tells them that this very night, they would all desert him, something that happened precisely as he predicted. But Peter, in typical brash fashion, declared, "Even if everyone else deserts you, Lord, I will never desert you." And I get this mental picture of Jesus, smiling sympathetically at the man he loved so profoundly, yet who understood so little. And with compassion in his eyes, he replies, "I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny 3 times that you even know me." "No," Peter insists, "even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all of the other disciples vowed the same. Now, if you're familiar at all with the story of Jesus' death, you know that Peter talked a big game, but in the end, it happened just like Jesus said. 3 times Peter was confronted about his relationship with Jesus, and each time he denied knowing him, even going so far as to call a curse upon himself if he were lying. Each time he became more and more agitated with the questioner, desperate to be left alone. But his final denial is interrupted by the crowing of a rooster. At that very moment, Jesus is being led through the courtyard. He has been severely beaten. His face is bloodied and swollen. And Luke 22:61 tells us, "At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny 3 times that you even know me." Peter immediately comes to his senses. We don't know how long Jesus and Peter maintained eye contact. I can't imagine it was for long. Keeping eye contact with somebody you had just betrayed is hard to do. And at that moment, Peter realized that he had done the very thing that he swore he would never do. And verse 62 tells us that Peter left the courtyard, weeping bitterly. Regret is a powerful thing. People from a myriad of lifestyles and backgrounds all wrestle with this same influence. Prisoners look back with regret at the choices they made to break the law, ashamed for the people that they hurt. The destitute or homeless person wonder how things may have been different if they had made different choices. Some wonder what life would be like if they hadn't chosen alcohol or drugs over their health. Some wonder what life would be like if they had just accepted help from their families. And now they find themselves in an unenviable position that they can't seem to escape. And even those with whom we come in contact with every day so often wrestle with regret, whether it's regret from a choice or choices that they made, wishing things could change, yearning to go back, but knowing they never could. Maybe you've experienced that yourself. Maybe you've made decisions, taken actions, or said something you wish you could go back and undo. Maybe you would go back to before you ever spoke those words to a sibling. Maybe you would go back before you had that affair. Maybe you would go back to right before you had that first drink, or right before you walked out on your family. Maybe it would be right before you accepted your ex's Facebook request, or right before you agreed to go on that first date. And the worst part of all of this, at least for so many of us, is that their life changed not because of a lifetime of bad choices, but because of one lousy night, or hour, or even a few minutes. And while their life may have been leading to that moment, they look back with heaviness at the few moments that caused a lifetime of regret. I've been thinking a lot about brokenness lately. The reminder that to be alive is to be broken. Every single one of us, whether we'd like to admit it or not, stand in the same place as people like Peter. We may not like to admit it. We may try to avoid it. We may even try to deny it. But each of us stands broken before Jesus, guilty of the sins we have committed against him. We all have betrayed him, whether in word or deed, and we have all denied him, often by the way that we live our lives. But in these moments of guilt, in these seasons of regrets, when we don't deserve it, grace comes bursting through. In these moments when you find yourself confronted with your greatest sin and regret, God's grace finds you, but it won't leave you there. For those listening that may be consumed with guilt, for those who feel locked in a prison of guilt and shame, there is hope for you yet. Like many of us do, when faced with our failures and regrets, the scriptures tell us that Peter went back to doing what he knew. John 21 begins by saying that he, along with a few of the other disciples, went back to being a fisherman. One early morning, after Jesus had risen from the dead, Peter had a profound encounter with him. After he cooked his disciples' breakfast, Jesus had some questions for his wayward follower. John 21:15 tells us, "After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' Peter replied, 'you know I love you.' 'Then feed my lambs,' Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' 'Yes, Lord,' Peter said, 'you know I love you.' 'Then take care of my sheep,' Jesus said. And a third time he asked him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And Peter was hurt that Jesus asked this question a third time. He said, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Then feed my sheep.'" Jesus ends their conversation with the same call that started it all, the call that he had given Peter when he was on a fishing boat years earlier. "Come, follow me." You see, whether you see it or not, Jesus was offering a new story for Peter. Despite his actions, despite his failures, despite his regrets, Jesus still believed in him. Peter would not be defined by his actions that night in Jerusalem. He no longer had to carry the weight of his regret. This passage is often called the restoration of Peter. He was taken from his state of guilt and regret, and placed into a status of favor. In fact, most people who know about Peter know that his life was forever altered from this interaction with Jesus. No more was he known for his brash, reckless words and actions. Jesus faced Peter's failures and offered hope, and he does the same to us. Friends, maybe you've been serving God, but you got caught up in one or a series of regrets. Maybe you're struggling to see how God could possibly use you. Look at Peter's story and recognize that God is not done with you yet. God has something better for you. You don't have to be defined by your failures. Peter, this man who had failed so spectacularly and had been living with the weight of his regrets, was still called by God. Even though he had abandoned Jesus, leaving him for dead, God had not given up on him. He did not abandon Peter. Just because Peter had been unfaithful to him did not mean that he would be unfaithful. If you look at the book of Acts, you'll see something rather spectacular in Peter. He becomes a great and wise leader. In Acts 2, Peter is used by God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to lead thousands to Jesus. Peter leads God's people as an example of Christ-like living. He serves them faithfully and does more than almost any other person to further the kingdom of God. Jesus entrusted the movement he started, the movement he died for, to Peter and his fellow disciples. These screw-ups, who couldn't be trusted to stay awake with their master while he prayed, or even be trusted not to run away from him in his most desperate hour, these were the men who Jesus entrusted to change the world. This is the change that Jesus can make in your life. Our regrets, our failures, don't mean that God is through with us. God is just getting started. Maybe you found yourself in the face of regrets. Maybe you've messed up. Maybe you've messed up bad. And maybe you're struggling to believe that God could possibly use you again. Just look at the life of the disciples and realize that even those closest to Jesus were colossal failures. Maybe you've betrayed Jesus with your lifestyle. Maybe you've left your first love and you have put other things in his place. But be encouraged today. Recognize that there is hope for you because Jesus offers you grace and he is looking to restore you because he still has a calling on your life. Maybe it's time for you to accept the call that Jesus is extending to you. After all of his failures, Peter was offered the same call that he received back on his boat in Luke 5. Come, follow me. And it's the same invitation that is offered to us today. We are being offered that same call. Even though we have failed him, we can still follow Christ today. But the question for you is, will you allow Jesus to rewrite your story? Will you let yourself follow him today? I'm believing in you and cheering you on. Seek your true north. I love you. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.